On Full Logic Reverse, we talked with Zoltan Grossman, cartographer and writer, about the situation in the Balkans.
In this process, people want to see good guys and bad guys, white hats and black hats, but in fact, there's nothing but gray hats in the Balkans. And when you have a situation of the kind of brutal forced expulsions, ethnic cleansing that you have in Kosovo, and you have NATO bombing, instead of canceling each other out, instead of bombing helping to end ethnic cleansing, it's actually reinforcing it. Those two forms of violence are really feeding off of each other right now, and the bombing hasn't helped one refugee and won't.
Talk, if you will, about why you make that statement that the bombing will not help any of the refugees. I mean, I think it's fairly clear that it's not helping, but why is it destined to not help at all?
Well, I think that the bombing has increased the power of Slobodan Milosevic. It's almost handed him an opportunity on a silver platter. A couple years ago, huge protests of Serbian students and workers almost removed him from power, almost toppled him. But now he has an excuse to expel Albanians from Kosovo. He has an excuse to crush the Serbian opposition, to take control of Montenegro. And it's basically almost what he needed at this moment. There was even an autonomous government declared on the part of Kosovar Albanians, led by Ibrahim Rugova. That got no support from the West. There were many, many draft resistors from in the Serbian army, the Yugoslav army, that really were, that was all downplayed. And if there had been some support for those moves on both part of Serbians and Albanians, this whole thing could have been headed off years ago. But instead, when the KLA a little over a year ago launched its armed struggle, it almost seemed like it was launching its armed struggle in order to provoke a crackdown on Albanian civilians by the Serbian authorities and thus to draw in NATO. It seemed to be a very irresponsible use of the armed struggle. In contrast, for instance, you can look at the African National Congress, which fought the apartheid regime in South Africa for years and years, but never this frontal assault that the KLA used against the Serbian army, one that was destined to fail and which did fail and which drew in NATO.
NATO's involvement in the bombing in Yugoslavia, while, I mean, it seems absolutely crazy, but fracturing this region up into small, somewhat powerless, ethnically segregated states, I mean, perhaps there's some method in the madness.
Yeah, there's definitely more going on than meets the eye. I think if the area is divided into small, weak, powerless ethnic enclaves, it could serve more as a pool of cheap labor, of cheap resources for the emerging superpower in Western Europe, the European Union. And I think that could be part of the European interests in that area. I think part of the American interests is to prevent the decoupling of the U.S. from Europe, to keep NATO as a transatlantic alliance together. In other words, I think there's been a fear for a long time, since the early 70s, and Henry Kissinger even expressed this, that a stronger Europe, economically, politically, militarily, would no longer need the U.S. And so you have a situation where the U.S. has established now a string of four countries with U.S. military bases, Hungary, Albania, Bosnia, and Macedonia, giving it an anchor in Europe, if you will, outside the EU, that it could use to keep its presence, to keep its influence in Europe. And I think that that's part of the purpose, too. But the U.S. and NATO have never really stood in the way of ethnic cleansing in this region. And in fact, not only have they not stood in the way, but at times they facilitated it. At times they've rubber-stamped the ethnic cleansing that's gone on in earlier stages of the Yugoslav War.
And you're speaking, of course, about the 1995 offensive by the Croatian army and the Krajina region, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of a four-year war, when Croatia seceded from Yugoslavia, it immediately had a war with its ethnic Serb minority, in which there were atrocities on both sides. I mean, in particular, by Croatians, by Serbian forces, about 30,000 Croatians died. The cities of Osijek and Vukovar were bombed. And at the end of the war, however, the Croatian army took it out against Serb civilians who had lived there in the area along the Bosnian border for centuries and ethnically cleansed somewhere between 100,000 and 600,000 ethnic Serbs from the region. Many of them were resettled in Kosovo by Serbia, which exacerbated the ethnic tensions down there. And not only did the U.S. not protest this, not only did it not try to stand in the way of this very violent ethnic cleansing, but it bombed Croatia, not the people who were doing the ethnic cleansing, but the people who were being ethnically cleansed. It bombed an airfield owned by the ethnic Serbs in the Krajina region of Croatia. There was also training by retired U.S. military officers of the Croatian army, possibility of arms reaching the Croatians through various channels. And so you also had the situation around this time in Bosnia of the Dayton Accords. Instead of dividing up Bosnia, as was a plan before, into small units that would include different ethnic groups, it divided it in half between a Croatian-dominated half and a Serbian-dominated half. The two halves of Bosnia now have different armies, two different currencies, two different political systems, and it's a de facto ethnic partition, much like the partition of India and Pakistan back in the late 40s, which obviously hasn't solved anything in the last 50 years. It's like the partition of Poland between Hitler and Stalin back in 1939. This is a clean ethnic partition that was not objected to by the U.S. or NATO, but in fact was engineered that way. So the idea that NATO is somehow against ethnic cleansing in the Balkans just flies in the face of this, not just old history, but this very recent history.
Mr. Grossman, I mean, is there a way out of this short of a major war in the Balkans? I mean, it almost seems to me that so much of the things that we've discussed is that so much of this is just being to almost guarantee that this is going to be pushed into a major ongoing war that could, or at least probably to the hopes of people in NATO and other forces, would result in the destruction of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia and just, you know, the entire breakup once again of the area to be picked over by the superpower or its friends. Is there a way out of this short of that, in your opinion?
Well, I think that real peace talks, not centered on NATO or Belgrade, are one way out, whether involving European powers or Russia. I think the idea of a neutral international protection force in Kosovo, not the goal being to topple Milosevic, which I've heard Blair talk about in the last 24 hours, but the idea of trying to have some lasting solution in Kosovo. I think that there, even though we've heard about the history of warfare between Serbs and Albanians or between Serbs and Croats in the Balkans, the years of peace have been much longer than the years of war. And even in the midst of this war, I just heard a member of the Serbian Democratic Opposition say that his sister had just been in Pristina, the capital of Kosovo, and saw an apartment building where ethnic Serbs were protecting Albanians, I believe armed, and that they were sheltering together in the bomb shelters from the NATO airstrike. So they were dealing with both the ethnic cleansing and the bombing together. And while this may seem like a long shot, there is possibly a future in Kosovo of the two ethnic groups, even given what's gone on here, because Serbs in many ways have suffered under Milosevic too. And there is the possibility of dividing Kosovo into smaller units where Serbs could have a future, where Albanians could have a future. And if we don't learn about ethnic problems like this in other countries, and if we just see them as intractable and permanent and natural, then we're going to have the same attitude about issues, ethnic and racial conflicts, in our own country.
Zoltan Grossman, cartographer, writer, and doctoral candidate in geography at the University of Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on the program to talk about the situation in the Balkans. Reporting for KVMR-FM, People's Tribune Radio, and the Grassroots News Network, I'm Mike Thornton.